The beginning of the year, we started in Isaiah 43, and I said that on this night, we would route back to this passage because it held a truth to start the year, and I knew it held the truth for this night. In Isaiah 43, starting at verse 16, it says, "This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick." Capture that, and he says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." A different translation says, it doesn't compare, what I just read, doesn't compare with what God is about to do. Verse 19, Isaiah starts prophesying. He says, "Capture a vision, see it. I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Perceive it. Make sure you see it. The result, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." He prophesies wanting people to see what he was seeing, and he's announcing that the I am, see those words, I am, that's connecting to what John told us, where Jesus himself says, "I am the bread, I am the door, I am the shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life. I am doing, I'm about to do something, and I'm about to do a new thing." Well, if he's going to do a new thing, it's compared to something that's already been done. And the new thing is compared to the greatest event in Israel's history to that point. And that was the Exodus. That is when God sent Moses, and by God's power, Pharaoh finally let them go. They start their way out of Egypt toward the promised land. As they are going, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, and he goes to recapture them. Now you have Pharaoh and his armies. You have the Israelites, and in front of them is the Red Sea. And we just read in great detail how it was God who drew them out. God made a way where there was no way. He dried up the ground so that the Israelites could walk across. And when those millions of Israelites got safely on the other side, had been brought out, he collapsed that sea on Pharaoh and all of the enemy forces. He extinguished them, the Bible says, where they would never rise again, snuffed them out like a wick. This enemy you see today, you will see no more forever. And that thing is where Isaiah prophesies and said, now God is about to do a new thing. And it is a new and greater Exodus. A new and greater Exodus. Because we were shapen in iniquity, born in sin. We weren't under Pharaoh. We were under the domination of Satan and sin, rendered hopeless. But here comes a new Exodus. Jesus Christ, sinless Son of God, died on a cross and rose again and made a way where there was no way so that we could be born again, made new. I'm doing a new thing. And he says, see that it springs up. You see the prophetic picture that he's given us. The new Exodus, it leads to the resurrection. Do you see it springing up? That was that Sunday morning that we're going to talk about the rest of the weekend after tonight, because we are a resurrection people. We are a resurrection focused people. But for the resurrection, there is no hope. But let me say it, the tomb is empty so your heart can be full. Come on, take a moment and just give God thanks for a new and greater Exodus, a new and a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So you have a new Exodus and a new creation. Here's what I mean by new creation. He's making a way in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland. So the people listening to Isaiah prophesy, they immediately associated what he was saying with the geography of their day. And they know he is speaking of the impossible made possible. He is speaking of extraordinary transformation, and so that they would capture it, he says it's going to be like a way in the wilderness and like streams in the wasteland, where it becomes a new covenant reality to you and me that none of us, by the grace of God, will be captured in our worst moment. And we not only will be saved, born again by the precious blood of Jesus, but we will be a new creation, and the old things will pass away. And behold, all things will be made new. And I want to say that sanctification is instantaneous, and you become the recipient of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But then sanctification is progressive. And this is where in discipleship, I become more and more like Jesus, equal to a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Because he did a new thing, you and I can be made new. Thank you, Jesus, my God. Thank you, Lord. This is why Paul said, for the message of the cross, it is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power. It's the power of God. That meant he went to the cross with intentionality. And tonight there is power in the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. John wrote in Revelation, then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, it has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the very authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth. The one who accuses them before our God day and night, they have defeated him. How? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Without the shedding of the blood, there is no testimony. My testimony is there's power in the blood. My God. Whew. I've got to take you to the conclusion. We started in Isaiah 43. Now this prophetic word from Isaiah 53, because it's all about the cross tonight. And Isaiah says he was pierced for our transgressions. I want to read this again. I just feel to pause and say, Lord, let us tremble at your word. You may have heard this 1,000 times. Let it be fresh. Let it be poignant. Let it grip you with the grace of God tonight. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. I want to talk about those four things, but I want to talk about them in chronological order, as they happened to Jesus. Those Roman guards, they whipped him. Isaiah, prophesying of the beating, said he would be marred unlike any other man. You know, they almost beat him to death. Many people who suffered the beating by the Roman soldiers, they died during just that part. And the Bible says through this prophetic word that those wounds were for our healing. We're going to take communion tonight, And I want you to know all the benefits that there are in the power of the blood of Jesus. Miracles can happen in this place tonight. If you need healing, I want you to know, I believe to the core of my being, standing on the word of God, that God, our God, is a healer, and that Jesus rose with healing in his wings. And in the atonement, there is provision made for our sicknesses and diseases to be healed. There are two people in the last couple of weeks from our church family have the latest scans from the latest technology, identifying and verifying that healing has happened in their body. Jesus bore the stripes for our healing. And tonight, if you need healing, as we take communion, take it in faith, believing that the provision has been made, and receive the healing power of Jesus tonight. He then was, by those Roman soldiers, they took a crown of thorns, those thorns being some at least 2 inches long, as hard as nails, and they drove it into his skull. So obviously the blood would come down his face, but the blood would reverse also and go toward his brain. This was a horrific part of the crucifixion. And it says that the punishment that he encountered in that aspect brought us peace. Well, where do we so often lack peace? In our mind. And through the atoning work of Jesus, there is peace that passes understanding. There is something greater than discouragement, greater than depression, greater than anxiety, greater than fear, greater than heartbreak. There is something greater, because the punishment that was placed on him, we now have peace that the world doesn't give. It is the peace of Almighty God. Take communion tonight, and if you need rest in your spirit, if you need your emotions to be quietened, if you need the anxiety to be confronted, if you need a response to a spirit of heaviness, the provision was made in the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Then the nails went into his hands and his feet. And those nails, to me, represent forgiveness and freedom. And here's the reason. This forgiveness of Jesus is for everything that our hands ever did that were sinful, and every place our feet ever have taken us that we should not have gone. So everything we've done, everywhere we've gone, that was outside of the boundaries of the word of God and a life that would honor Jesus, he came and took the nails so that we could be forgiven. I want to spend a lot of time here tonight, but I just will tell you, I am overwhelmed with the word forgiveness, and it's kind of like the central part of the resurrection message that I'll be giving tomorrow night and on Sunday. I just want to shout it tonight. There is forgiveness through the power of the blood of Jesus. Not because of who we are, but because of his sinless life and because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Your sins, along with the shame, can be forgiven and the shame broken. And then now you're free. Your hands that will work, the skill set, the thoughts and dreams and visions, now your hands, the work of your hands will be blessed, and you will be able to walk in the path of God, in the lane that is marked out for you. You will be able to walk in the Spirit and walk in joy and walk in freedom, because that's the power of the cross. The fourth one. And I want to invite the worship team to join me tonight. But just before I get to the fourth one, notice how succinctly Paul captured this, Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his what? His, say it with me, his, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. In him we have redemption. Well, what is that? The forgiveness of sins. How? Through his blood. Well, where did that come from? It came out of the riches of God's grace. And finally, the spear. The spear in his side and the blood and the water flowed. So he was wounded for our transgressions. The punishment of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. And I'm drawn here to Isaiah's prophecy where he says he was crushed. He was crushed, bruised. And I felt to say tonight that by the power of the blood of Jesus, you can get your joy back. A broken heart is a real thing. The Proverbs talk about a broken heart or a wounded heart, but then it talks about a crushed spirit. And it asks the question, is there healing for a spirit that has been crushed? And it leaves it out there. Like maybe you could get over a broken heart, but when your spirit has been crushed, is there an answer? And I want you to know that because of Jesus' willingness to go to the cross, in the wounds he encountered, we find our healing, our peace, our forgiveness. And we find that inner healing as well, where we do get our joy back. And when you take communion tonight, if that resonates with you, if there's been a situation relationally, a death in your family, a failure that has kind of changed everything, and you just feel crushed, there's dread, there's dreams dashed. I want you to know that Jesus, through his atoning work, made a provision for your broken heart. And I want you to take communion tonight, believing for that provision to be so personal to you that that would be like a new exodus for you. You would walk out of that heaviness. And instead of waking up with dread and defeat, you would wake up with joy and with hope. That's the power of the blood. He said it like this, a bruised reed he will not break. He never gives up on you. It looks hopeless, but it stands back up. A smoking flax he will not snuff out. Burned out, no more use, not with Jesus, because he's the resurrection and he's the life. I want to thank you tonight, Jesus. I want to thank you for a new and greater exodus. I want to thank you for the power of the new creation. I want to thank you that through your atoning work, we can experience healing. I pray that for everybody in this room that needs it. I pray divine healing. I pray for the peace of God to calm down a troubled heart, a racing mind, an anxious spirit. I pray for the broken heart to be healed and joy to be restored. I want to pray on this fourth one, but I want to ask this question. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you'd like to experience forgiveness and freedom, here in a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And when you take communion tonight, you will do so born again. You will do so made new. You say, Ron, I need Jesus to forgive my sin. I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to know him. My life isn't working. And I need Jesus. I need his grace. I need his leadership. I need his love. I need his power. I need Jesus. And I'm gladly ready to repent of my sin and welcome the free gift of salvation and a relationship with him. If that is you, would you just lift your hand right now? Say, that's me. Anybody in the room? Anybody in the room? Say, that is the desperate need of my life. And so, Lord, I thank you that there is forgiveness. And then there's freedom where we can run the race that is marked out for us. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,